son of Drona punished? Text 44. Sahasyo dhanurvedah
Sahasyo dhanurvedah
Savi sargopasamyamah
Savi sargopasamyamah
Astragramascha bhavata
Astragramascha bhavata
Shikshito jadanugraha
Shikshito jadanugraha
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It was by Dronacharya's mercy that you learned the military art of throwing arrows and the confidential art of controlling weapons. Please repeat after me. It was by Dronacharya's mercy, that you learned the military art, of throwing arrows, and the confidential art, of controlling weapons. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Dhanurveda or military science was taught by Dronacharya with all its confidential secrets of throwing and controlling by Vedic hymns. Gross military science is dependent on material weapons, but finer than that is the art of throwing the arrows saturated with Vedic hymns, which act more effectively than gross material weapons like machine guns or atomic bombs. The control is by Vedic mantras or the transcendental science of sound. It is said in the Ramayana that Maharaj Dasharath, the father of Lord Ramchandra, used to control arrows by sound only. He could pierce his target with his arrow by only hearing the sound without seeing the object. So this is a finer military science than that of the gross material military weapons and used nowadays. Arjuna was taught all these, and therefore Draupadi wished that Arjuna feel obliged to Acharya Drona for all these benefits, and in the absence of Dronacharya, his son was his representative. That was the opinion of the good lady Draupadi. It may be argued why Dronacharya, a rigid Brahmana, should be a teacher in military science. But the reply is that a Brahmana should become a teacher regardless of what his department of knowledge is. A learned Brahmana should become a teacher, a priest, and a recipient of charity. A bona fide Brahmana is authorized to accept such professions. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manodhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahugana Raghunathan Vitam Tvam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savudhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahugana Lolita Sri Vishakhan Nitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatvate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Taptukan Chanagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanushute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpataru Bharsha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavajinyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaurava Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sha Rahasya Dhanurvedaha Savi Shargo Pasanjamaha Astra Brahmascha Bhavata Shikshito Jad Anugrahat It was by Dronacharya's mercy that you learned the military art of throwing arrows and the confidential art of controlling weapons. So, Draupadi is appealing to Arjuna to release Ashwatthama, the son of Dronacharya, Arjuna's teacher, who taught him the use of weapons. Anyone who teaches any branch of Vedas is called a teacher or acharya. The Vedas, there are different sections. There is the Karmakanda section, there is Gyanakanda section, there is Upashanakanda section. So this Karmakanda section of the Vedas have all these different activities in the material platform. There are prescribed activities of performing sacrifices. And there are different branches, different sciences also. Like one of them is the use of weapons. That science is called Dhanurveda, and that's the branch of Atharva Veda. So Dronacharya was an expert in that science. Dronacharya was a disciple of Parashuram, who was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who actually appeared to annihilate the Kshatriyas from the surface of this earth. And Parashuram, for 21 times, he annihilated the Kshatriyas. 21 times he just slaughtered all the Kshatriyas, because such Kshatriyas became despots. Kshatriyas became independent, tyrannical at one time. So instead of ruling, or instead of protecting the citizens, the Kshatriya kings were actually torturing their citizens and extracting taxes forcibly for their pleasure. Instead of protecting their children, protecting the citizens like the fathers, they were actually plundering them as bunch of bandits. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared to relieve the burden of this earth as Parashuram. Parashuram, he single-handedly wiped out all the Kshatriyas. And not only once or twice, but 21 times. Like all the Kshatriyas were wiped out, but some of the Kshatriyas' wives were pregnant, so they gave birth. Because in those days, the women were not touched. The fight used to take place between the warriors. Not like today's warfare, like somebody just drops a bomb, and all kinds of innocent people die. But that was not the way it was during the Vedic time. In the Vedic time, the Kshatriyas would actually confront each other. Like you have seen in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, how the two armies, the Kaurava army and the Pandava army, stood facing each other, and then they fought. And that kind of warfare also was prevalent all over, even just a few years ago. Even 100-150 years ago, that was the way people used to fight. They were brave soldiers, they were warriors, they were not afraid of dying. So they would consider actually to die on the battlefield for a Kshatriya was glorious. But things started to change from the so-called First World War, and it became worse in the Second World War. It became very, very bad since that time, but it started to become this policy. The heroes of or the heroic soldiers, they started to lose their valor, courage and strength due to the influence of the age of Kali. With the influence of the age of Kali, the fire weapon started. And then came this atomic weapon. Actually, this is also very interesting. The art of fireworks was actually known to people in India and China. And China greatly developed this fireworks. Marco Polo, in his description, speaks about this, how they used to have fireworks in China. Now, there was a Mongolian king, Mongolian in group, tribal leader actually. His name was Babur. He took this Chinese firework technique and he used it as a weapon. He started to use it as a weapon. Like the fireworks that used to go up in the sky and display all kinds of intricate fire designs. He started to shoot them straight to the enemy line. And this is how the first guns were actually invented. And this Babur, he then invaded India. And because of his fireworks, fire weapons, the Indian king was defeated by him. And he was the first one to establish the Mughal Empire. Babur was the grandfather of Akbar, who actually took over the entire India. Anyway, so this is the beginning of the influence of Kali. And then from the fireworks, from the fire weapons, then different types of weapons also started to develop. From fire weapon came the atomic weapons. Atomic weapons are also some kind of fire weapons, because atomic energy is converted into that kind of destructive fire weapon. And now they have gone even further. They have got this gas, poison gas, and all kinds of devices to kill people. And as a result of that, and those who are fighting, they are not heroic people anymore. They are not courageous, heroic warriors anymore. They are just a bunch of cowards. And as a result of that, the world situation has changed drastically with this influence of Kali. Now, in earlier days, when we see, say, when we get the descriptions of Bhagavad Gita, in Battle of Kurukshetra in Bhagavad Gita, what do we find? We find that both the armies actually are facing each other. And right in the front are the generals. All the big, big soldiers, big, big generals are standing right in front facing each other. Like Krishna is telling Arjuna, so there is Bhishma, there is Drona, there is Ashwatthama, there is Kripacharya. In this way he just started to give the descriptions of, and where they were just right in the front. But in today's warfare, where do the so-called generals, the generals of the fools and cowards, where do they stay, and how do they dictate? How do they actually conduct the war? Sitting in bunkers, under the ground, and with the remote control, like their telecommunication and other kinds of communication. They tell, okay, go there and do this, do that. And the poor infantries, the people, those who are the most pitiable people, most unintelligent and most defenseless, and they are forced out in the front. And when there's a war, they actually die. And the worst thing also is that when the war takes place, is the political leaders, they actually have the understanding among themselves. They fight. Anyway, it's a whole intricate business actually in today's warfare. Say, okay, to give an idea, America is producing, American industries are centralizing in weapon industries, manufacturing weapons. Or manufacturing bombs and aeroplanes and war equipment, because that is very profitable business. And all the small countries, they are making, they are manufacturing what people actually need for their livelihood, like cars and TVs. So America first let Japan make them, and then Taiwan and Singapore and all, Korea. All these small countries are making all this what they need for their day-to-day life, but they are manufacturing all these big war machines. Now, when somebody manufactures something, they have to sell it. So, America started to give different types of grants, American government, to different less developed nations. And the grant was in the form of these weapons. And America also started to create wars, because when they manufacture these weapons, they have to sell them or they have to use them, because they have to continuously manufacture. So if, like the cars, if the cars don't break down, then no one will buy a new car. Similarly, if the weapons are not used, they don't buy the new weapons. So they create wars in different parts of the world. And like it's a known fact that this war between Iraq and Kuwait, or the Iraqi invasion in Kuwait, was actually started by America. The secrets have been leaked out. America actually told Kuwait that get into war, Iraq, to get into the, get invade Kuwait. And then when they invaded Kuwait, then they came into as a big leader to protect Kuwait. Why? It's a bunch of industrialists who are manufacturing all these war machines. They are manipulating the US government, and they created all these problems in the world, and simply in order to sell their products. And ultimately what happens when the war takes place, then all kinds of innocent people die. America, when they, in order to defeat Iraq, they actually thoroughly bombed Baghdad and other big cities in Iraq. Oh, so many innocent people died. But the person who started the war, where was he? First of all, he sent his family and his wife, everyone, his wife and children, away from Iraq. And this guy was defeated, the person who was the cause of so many people's death. He was just let out scot-free. No punishment, nothing. He is still the dictator of that country, Iraq. But that wouldn't happen in the Vedic times. First of all, this man is not only a scoundrel, Saddam Hussein, but he was a coward and the worst kind of person. And he is the leader of that. And he's the cause of so many people's death, both in Kuwait and Iraq. And you know, so many American and European soldiers also died. But that person is still ruling the country as a leader. That wouldn't happen in the Vedic time. In the Vedic time, if there is an invader king, and if he is defeated, then his head will immediately be chopped off. A valiant, heroic leader will fight till death. So Prabhupada is pointing that out, that how much more civilized the people were in Vedic time, and how much even scientifically advanced those people were. First of all, these people were very, very heroic. When they would fight, the fight would take place only between the Kshatriyas. No Brahmana or Vaishya or a Sudra be killed. What to speak of women and children. So, yeah, the point I was trying to make at that time was, Parshuram, he killed the Kshatriya kings and their army. But still, some Kshatriyas were born again from their wives. And he, when they came to power, Parashuram killed them again. In this way, 21 times he slaughtered the Kshatriyas. And how did he do it? He did it with an axe. Parashu means an axe. So he's Ram with an axe. And with his axe he just started to slaughter everyone. And these Kshatriya leaders were actually very, very powerful personalities. These heroic leaders, they could fight single-handedly with 1,000 people. Although it may sound, it may sound like an untruth, but actually it is a fact. That's how the Kshatriya kings used to, and the Kshatriyas used to fight. And that's how powerful they were. And although it may seem that they were just fighting with arrows and swords and things, but they were actually, they knew the art of using the Vedic mantras. Like Prabhupada is mentioning here, that Dasharatha, he knew the art of hitting the target without even seeing the target, just by sound. That is called Shabda Bhediman. Shabda means sound, Bhedi means penetrating or piercing. The arrow that will pierce the object just by following the sound. And that's why unfortunately Dasharatha actually killed the son of a Brahmana, Andhamuni's son. He was collecting water from the river. Now when you fill a pitcher with water, it makes a sound. That sound may sound like some animal is licking the water. When the animal drinks water, it makes a slapping sound. So Dasharatha thought that that's probably a tiger or an elephant. So he released his arrow, but the arrow actually hit the son of the Brahmana. And he was the only son of a sage called Andhamuni. He was a blind sage. And when Dasharatha saw that he actually killed the Brahmana boy, so he took the boy to his father. He felt very much afflicted. And the father at that time cursed Dasharatha. That just as the pain that I am feeling due to the separation of my son, similarly you will also feel the same separation from your son, and you will die out of that pain from the separation from your son. So Dasharatha came back to his kingdom. He felt very bad that he killed a Brahmana boy, and then on top of that he has been cursed like that by Brahmana. So Dasharatha's spiritual master, their Kula Guru, was Vasishtha. So he consulted Vasishtha. So Vasishtha said that this curse actually has become a benediction. Benediction because Dasharatha didn't have a son. And he said that this Brahmana said that you will die due to the separation from your son. Now that means you are going to have a son. Dasharatha for a long time didn't have a son. Although he had three wives, he didn't have a son. And then, of course, these four sons were born: Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. And Dasharatha, due to that curse, he actually died due to the separation from his son, Lord Ramchandra. When Ramchandra was banished to the forest for 14 years, then Dasharatha was running after him crying, "Oh my son, oh Ram. And in this way, calling out the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dasharatha actually left his body. So this is how we can see that it was the perfection of his life. He died, he left his body calling out the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how advanced the people used to be during the Vedic time. And there were so many such weapons. Like Arjuna used a weapon called the sleeping weapon. At one time, at Virata's, when Arjuna was in the house of Virat, they were hiding. They were sent to the forest for 12 years due to the game of dice, losing the game of dice. They were supposed to be in the forest for 12 years, and 1 year they were supposed to remain incognito. Incognito means when nobody would be able to recognize them. And if any one of them was recognized, then the condition would repeat. That's another 12 years of forest and 1 year of incognito. So when they were in that year, during that year of incognito, they stayed in the house of a king called Virat. And at one time, when Virat was away from his kingdom with his army, fighting with some enemies in the other part of his kingdom, then Duryodhan, along with his associates, attacked Virat's kingdom. And they actually wanted to steal the wealth of cows that Virat had. King Virat had millions of cows, and that was the great wealth. So they came to steal the cows. So Arjun was hiding at that time in the house as a dance teacher. And dance teacher of the princess, Uttara. Arjun was not only a great warrior, but he was an expert dancer also. When he was in heavenly planet, then he was taught the art of dancing by the king of the Gandharvas, King Chitrasena. And also, Arjun got a curse when he was in heaven, that for 1 year he will become, and he will lose his male identity. In this way you can see how everything actually takes place according to either karma, karmic reaction, or according to Krishna's sweet divine arrangement. The reason actually was, when Arjuna was in heaven, one day he just looked at Urvasi. Urvasi is a celestial dancer, celestial apsara. So Indra noticed that Arjuna was looking at Urvasi. But Arjuna actually looked at Urvasi because their dynasty, their line, the family that Arjuna was born was coming from Urvasi. Sakuntala's son was Bharat. And Sakuntala's mother was Sakuntala's mother was Manaka. Anyway, somehow Arjuna's line, family line, is coming from Urvasi. And so he was looking at her with great awe and reverence, that here is my family, the mother of the family. And when Indra noticed that Arjuna looked at Urvasi, so he felt that really Arjuna became attracted to Urvasi. So Indra told Urvasi to go to Arjuna. And when Urvasi came to Arjuna, Arjuna just treated her like a mother, like his mother. And Urvasi was upset. So she told that since he was behaving like an eunuch, he would become an eunuch. Or since he failed to act like a man, he would lose his manhood. And then Arjuna begged forgiveness and explained to her what was actually the matter. And then Urvasi withdrew her curse. But since the curse was there, it had to happen. But she withdrew it by saying, okay, for 1 year you will be in that condition. And Arjuna took advantage of that curse, because that 1 year that he was incognito, he accepted that curse at that time. And Arjuna, no one could recognize Arjuna, and he actually went to the palace of King Virat and he became the dance teacher of his daughter, Princess Uttara. So when King Virat was away fighting with his soldiers and Duryodhan with his army attacked his kingdom to steal the cows, then Virata's young son, he started to boast. He was the only, practically only male member left in the house and all the soldiers were away. So Uttar started to brag. He said that if I just could have one chariot here, then I would have taken care of all these people and given them such a good lesson. So Arjun, in the form of Brihandala, the dance teacher of Uttara, said, okay, so I know how to ride a chariot, so I can ride your chariot. So let's go ahead. I'll drive the chariot and you fight with them. So Uttar got excited, so got the chariot, and Arjun drove the chariot. But when Uttar saw the army, it was like an ocean. And he was alone, so he became afraid, so he wanted to run with him. So Arjun caught him and said, don't run. You do one thing, you drive the chariot and let me fight. And Arjun kept his weapons hiding in a tree. He actually tied up his weapon on a tree. He went there and got the weapons and got himself decked up for the fight. And he came and Arjun shoot, I think, 2 arrows. First two arrows he shoot. And that arrow actually came and fell at Dronacharya's feet. So in this way, he offered his obeisances to Dronacharya. He shot the arrow and the arrow just came and fell at Dronacharya's feet. And he did the same thing to Bhishma. So these two arrows were directed to them. And in this way, Bhishma could recognize that this is Arjun. Bhishma and Dronacharya. And with the third arrow that Arjun shot, and that is called the sleeping arrow. And due to that arrow, all the enemy soldiers fell asleep. And when they, in this way they were defeated, and when they came back to their senses, then they could recognize that this must be Arjun. And Duryodhan became very excited. He said, finally we found them. But Bhishma calculated, he said, just few hours ago, 1 year was over. So now that you recognize Arjuna, it's after 1 year. So in this way, the Pandavas actually were brought back to the kingdom. And at that time, Duryodhan refused to give them. Even Pandavas finally, first condition, they wanted, okay, give us half of the kingdom. The one that you have taken from us. They refused. Duryodhan refused to give it. Then finally Yudhishthira said, okay, give us 5 villages. Because we are Kshatriyas and our occupation is to rule. So we don't mind just ruling 5 villages. And Duryodhan responded by saying that without a war, I'm not going to give you even the piece of land that the size of a tip of the needle. The land, the size of the tip of the needle, that much land also I won't give you. And that's why Kurukshetra war became inevitable. After that, Krishna tried to mediate, stop them. There's a saying that when someone wants to die, nothing can stop him. That's actually happened to Duryodhana and his allies. Because when Krishna went to mediate with them, then Duryodhan decided to arrest him. He sent his army and said, get him now. And without Krishna, the Pandavas will become powerless. And when they came to arrest Krishna in the assembly, Krishna showed his universal form. And although Duryodhan saw that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he didn't want to listen to his words or make any compromise with the Pandavas. Therefore, finally, the battle of Kurukshetra became inevitable, and the Kshatriyas once again were annihilated, excepting these five Pandavas. And Draupadi is telling Arjun here that, Arjun, all these martial arts you learned from Dronacharya. And in Dronacharya's absence, his son is his representative. So you can't mistreat him. You can't mistreat your spiritual master. So in this way we can see how noble Draupadi actually was. And sometimes people say, or people think, that in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the women are treated as second class or third class. But actually, in the Vedic culture, the women were treated with greatest respect, and their position was very, very elevated. And they were not illiterate fools in the Vedic time. The women in the Vedic time, they were very wise, as we can see from Draupadi's statements. They are very, very noble. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness movement, the women are actually treated in the same way, and they are trained to develop that kind of nobility. And Prabhupada also said that when the mothers are very chaste and noble, then their children also become very good. Good child comes from a good mother. And in this way, in Krishna, through the movement, through the Krishna consciousness movement, this world will again be filled with noble, heroic personalities like Arjuna, Parikshit Maharaj, Bhima, Yudhishthira Maharaj. This Krishna consciousness movement has appeared to change the face of this world, change the appearance of this world. The hellish condition that has developed in the world today, gradually with the propagation of Krishna consciousness, that condition will be removed. And once again, a very noble Vedic culture will be established, where the men will be heroic and the women will be wise, affectionate and broad-minded mothers. And that's the perfect human society. But nowadays in modern society, what is happening? Things are changing. In the modern society, men are becoming like women and women are becoming like men. But Krishna consciousness has come to actually establish the real human society, human culture in this world. Therefore, we all have to play, the members of our society have to play their respective roles. The brahmanas must act like a brahmana. The kshatriyas must act like kshatriyas. Vaishyas must act like vaishyas. Sudras must act like sudras. And in this way, acting according to their natural propensity, everyone will be happy. And the men should behave like men, women should behave like women. We must develop our inherent characteristics. Every individual has a specific characteristic, and those characteristics must be developed. If a woman wants to be a man, and a man man becomes like a woman, then that's very, very unfortunate. And as a result of that, the whole society collapses. And that's why this human society is no more a human society, it's an animal society today. So it is very important that this Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world. And the responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness movement lies on the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, the members, every member of the society must take up this responsibility very, very seriously. In this society, everyone should try to become a perfect example for others by accepting the teachings of Srila Prabhupada in a perfect way and living his life accordingly. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment?
Yes, what
question
is that
Srila
Prabhupada is designed by Krishna. So I would like to know what was the reason besides of just the Leela that Krishna tried to intermediate between the parties. Because he wanted this one. Why did he?
I see. Well, he was acting in that way. Like, Leela means it's like a drama. Like in a drama on the stage, the way things are arranged is to convey certain message or to convey certain teaching. And in order to do that, the drama is arranged in a certain way. And similarly, Krishna was, through his pastimes, he was teaching a lesson. And that lesson was that one must surrender unto him. Now Krishna, if Krishna just came and told, look, surrender unto me, he did tell, surrender unto me and I will take care of you in all respects. Now some people understand just by hearing one word of Krishna. But some people do not understand. There many, and less intelligent people are, more time they take to understand. The bigger arrangements they need to understand. Therefore, for less intelligent people, Krishna had to play this drama. And through the drama, Krishna taught, surrender unto me, I'll take care of you. If you don't surrender unto me, no matter whoever you are going to be finished. So that's why Krishna made this play, like he pretended, he acted as he was going. Although everything is said, in the back, when Krishna showed Arjuna his universal form, Arjuna could see. And Krishna told him that, look, everyone is finished. Everyone is dead by my arrangement. But I want you to fight and get the credit for that. Because even if you don't fight, they will be, they're finished. So you fight on behalf of me and get the credit. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness movement, one thing we can also consider, that this movement is going to spread all over the world in every town and village. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it. Right? He made the arrangement. Now those who will work for that, preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness, they'll get the credit for that. Just as Krishna gave the credit to Arjuna for winning the battle of Kurukshetra. Yes.
When we study the Vedic Varnashram system, we can see that it's a perfect system for society where everybody can live in peace and harmony, and even every class of man develops spiritual consciousness and purity. But it seems like when we read in the Vedas, there were always wars there and that. And
war will always be there in the material nature, because